Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today, which is Wednesday, May 25 from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. On Sunday, May 22nd, Joplin, our sister city, neighbor city right here, not many miles down the road, was hit by what they are saying is it is ranked as one of the deadliest tornadoes ever to hit America. It is the deadliest since they began keeping track of things in the early 50s. Last night, a violent storm swept through three states, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Texas, Missouri as well. But Kansas, they swept through. 13 people died in violent weather in three states. And we got so much rain here in Branson area that they had to open the floodgates again. And people who had just cleaned up over a flood, the most terrible flood they had ever had here, they're going to have to clean up again. So I wanted to come to you. What is happening? What's going on around here? And is there anything we can do about it? Yes, I believe. I'm going to tell you what I think is happening. You can draw your own conclusions. You're free. But I use the Word of God to draw mine. And it's an educated conclusion, because for years and years and years and years, since 1986, when God told me after my husband passed away to go to Israel and study Hebrew in the land, I'm going to place you close to the Jews, so close they can know your love. And I've been going and I've been watching, and I've watched relationships between Jews and Christians grow from almost a nothingness. And I've watched Jews come home from Russia. I've watched everything the Bible said would happen, happen. Now, what we're seeing right here is also what the Bible said would happen. So this morning I got up and I thought about the people and the sad stories. And I remembered Romans 12:15. Which instructs us, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. We are weeping with the people in Joplin and the people in El Reno, Oklahoma, and the people who have lost loved ones throughout Alabama. We weep with them and we rejoice in every victory. Now, first off, I want to say that I do believe that what's happening right now with the weather has to do with the judgments of God. I do not believe God did it. I do not believe as an overt act he stood up and said, we're going to get Joplin today. You can take a clue from Matthew chapter 8 when Jesus got into that ship with his disciples. And Matthew 8:24 says, there arose a great tempest in the sea. And his disciples were afraid, and they said, Lord, save us, we perish. And then the 26th verse, he said unto them, why are you fearful? That's one thing we must not be, is fearful. O you of little faith, that's one thing we must be, full of faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. He did not rebuke God. God wasn't behind that storm. That storm that came was instigated by the enemy of God. In fact, all weather conditions that we know right now are a result of the fall. They are a result of the curse. Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, always told us it doesn't do you much good to pray about weather. You have to use your authority over weather. Because when God created this earth, all the weather was perfect until the fall, until man fell. And the earth then went into a state of curse. Well, you can read about how the earth right now is groaning and praying and crying, all creation, to be released from that curse. And they will be released from it. But now it just seems to grow ever more and ever more. God, though he did not speak and say, tonight we're going to get Joplin, tonight we're going to get so-and-so, whenever. Have you noticed that the ice storms in the winter were the worst? Everything was the worst. It's been the worst. The worst droughts and the worst famines and the worst everything. And, of course, the Bible did tell us that these things would come about in the end times. What is happening is the judgment cup is getting full. Judgment, when it is full, you remember that the Father said to Abraham, now your children are going to go into Egypt and they're going to come out, but they're not going to come out until the judgment cup of the Amorites is full, until their sin against God had gotten full and drawn judgment in upon itself. There are some judgments being brought in upon the earth and even in upon our country, I believe, because the judgment cup is getting fuller and fuller. The judgments of God are not bad. They are good. The judgments of God are his opinions, his statements about things, not just his opinions, his statement about it. I remember when we used to iron clothes. I don't iron much anymore, but I did iron when I had little bitty children running around. And my judgment to them was, get away from the ironing board. Don't come near it. This iron is hot. If it fell on you, it would bring trouble. And don't touch the iron. So that was my judgment to my children, and they were blessed if they stayed away from that iron. Now here is what some, I pulled up judgments, you know how we can do on our computers these days. And oh my goodness, I got so many of them, but I'm going to read you just a few. Exodus 21:1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. Exodus 24:3. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said we will do. Leviticus 18:4, you shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances and walk therein. I am the Lord your God. 18:5, you shall keep my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am Jehovah. God's judgments about what will bless you will bless you. Deuteronomy 4:8, and what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous, which I set before you this day? Psalm 119:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. 119:137, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Verse 156, great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to your judgments. Verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. Verse 164, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of your righteous judgments. God spoke his judgments into the earth, his decisions of right and wrong, of blessing and cursing. Satan is ever ready to accuse. He's called the accuser of the brethren. What does he accuse us of? Transgressing God's judgments. Satan, his commandments. Transgressing in the New Testament, the commandment of love. Satan is ever ready to accuse, to insist upon his legal right to execute the curse. You can see this in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 23. The children of Israel, he was bringing out of Egypt. He instituted the Passover. He instituted the Passover, the lamb, and the blood that they could put upon the doorpost. And he said that tonight, this is the Lord's Passover. Verse, Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am Jehovah. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When he sees the blood, the judgment won't come on them. Now, a very important point to this, which God showed me when I was writing the book, The Blood and the Glory, and you need that book. Exodus chapter 12, verse 23. Jehovah will pass through and smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Jehovah will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come in into your houses to smite you. The destroyer, that which kills, that which steals, that which destroys, John 10:10, is Satan. It's the devil. It's the devil that was going to come through that night and kill the firstborn. Satan would rather have killed the firstborn of the Jews. But God put a line that he could not cross, a token upon their doorposts, the blood of Jesus Christ. So, all mankind deserve judgment, the Jews and the Egyptians. But Satan was only allowed to go as far as God allowed him, and the blood was the token that had to be displayed. Joshua 2:12 tells you that Rahab, even when God was ready to bring judgment right down on the walls of Jericho where she lived, she said, "I believe he's God. I believe he's given you the right land, and I want a token." And she displayed a token, a red string, which stood for the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I was very, very upset when on May 19, the President of the United States made a statement. His statement was, there should be a Palestinian state, and we should begin with the fact that its borders will be decided upon the lines of the 1967 Six-Day War. Brett Stevens of the Wall Street Journal has said that Obama's Palestinian-Israel peace plan is a formula for war and not for peace. One that he will pursue in a second term, assuming, of course, that he gets one. He said that this was nothing new. It is something new. No U.S. president had explicitly endorsed the 67 lines as a basis for negotiating a final border. It so concerned me because he said this is the position of the United States of America. Please read Joel chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, where God says to nations, "I will gather the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. I will plead with them there," or indict them, it's a legal term, "for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land." Most translations say, "my land they divided." God says that Jerusalem will be a touchstone, and anybody who tries to settle Jerusalem will cut themselves to pieces. So God is watching the nations right now. He's watching if they say they want to divide his land. He's watching if they say they want to divide Israel. I heard President Obama. I heard Netanyahu. And of course, they're wiggling all around everything. Netanyahu's put up impossible things that he knows the Palestinians won't agree to. But neither of them should have said it. They should say what the word says. My land is not to be divided. Ezekiel 36, 37, Jeremiah 30 and 31, they're to come back to the land of Ephraim. They're to come back to what the Bible calls the West Bank, and they are to build the cities. And so when someone, especially a head of state, says the land can be divided, then Satan, the accuser of the brethren, says, "I've got the legal right." And he who is the prince of the power of the air, and who has authority over weather conditions, unless we move him out, he's ever ready to bring these horrible storms. Is there something we can do about it? Yes, there is something we can do about it. What is that? You'll have to tune back in to find out.